Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. A Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Lines out the door at all the pie places this morning. You can tell Thanksgiving is in the air.
Oh, yeah, you drive and or walk right past House of Pies.
Right past it, every morning.
Is House of Pies has a line already?
No, I'm just looking at the screen in our studio here. There's a big story about it. I think it's Flying Saucer has a line out the door right now.
Is that the one on the north side that's a big deal? Yeah. There's one on the north side that's a huge deal every year.
Yeah. No line outside House of Pies this morning, but it is here. We are a little over 24 hours away from gorging. And we've got a lot to get to today, Seth. We got a lot of business to take care of. We got Nick Caserio coming on at 7:30.
Oh yeah,
obviously a lot to get to with him today with this football team.
John McClain immediately after.
Yeah. John is gonna. So we move John. John's normally on. If you're a John McClain enthusiast, John's usually 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. I'm glad you brought this up. We pushed him back one segment because typically Nick will stay on with us and maybe even sweep through 8 o'clock there. So I didn't want to eat into John's time with Nick.
Right.
So John is almost like the Nick Caserio interview post game show.
Yeah. So I was Googling. I like to Google search terms just to figure out what's going on. Yeah. So I'm not Googling them, but I'm finding out like what the big search terms are surrounding the Texans right now.
What'd you find out?
And Davis Mills is one of them, Sean. Davis Mills is pretty much the go-to. The deal right now with search terms and whether or not he's going to get benched. Lovey put out so many breadcrumbs on Monday, sounding like there was going to be some kind of a decision or a change made, because you don't tell news like that. You tell news like that to players first before you tell it to the media, is basically what Lovey said. And then there was no news yesterday when the players were back in the building. But today, Sean, this is when the actual game planning and meetings start. So maybe today there will be news.
The fact that there's no news, does it make you any more? I don't know. The fact that there's no news moves me slightly to the side of maybe there will be no change, you know?
Yeah, it does. I mean, with each passing day when there's no news in a game week, yeah, I would think that that's probably fair to say. I guess the other question might be, hey, they might have made a decision, but you want to get as much time as possible without the Dolphins knowing about it. So usually, okay, if they make this change on a Wednesday and they don't tell anybody except maybe the quarterbacks themselves until right before practice, then you go out to practice and then the players realize it during the practice, obviously, because you're going to want to get Kyle Allen as many reps as possible. The players come back in. And one of them texts their agent about it. The agent then feeds it to somebody, and then bada bing, bada boom, there you go.
Yep.
So that's about as long as you could possibly hope to keep a lid on it. And that's an optimistic assessment.
Yes.
You know, like usually what had happened is the quarterbacks are told. One of the quarterbacks gets angry and or excited, tells his agent, the agent goes and tells somebody, and then before they even get on the field, you got our local reporters training their eyes on Kyle Allen as he's coming out to practice. So today would be the day that I think the Texans would say, hey, Kyle Allen, if he's going to start, we want to get him his reps. So it'll be leaked or they'll say something today.
Yeah,
if it is indeed going to be a change.
Certainly Davis Mills is going to be something we're going to talk about with Nick Caserio at 7:30 today. Just to reset what Seth said, in case you guys have been out of the loop for the last 48 hours or so, this was Lovie Smith on Monday when he was asked by the media about a possible change at quarterback.
You know, as I said, the players come in tomorrow. So have I watched the video a few different times? Yeah, and made some decisions on how we're going to go forward. But you can probably understand if, like all changes and anything that we do from week to week, you kind of talk to the players first before we talk to you. So we're not pleased with where we are. And do we need to do some things differently? Yes, and we will.
Okay. So, and we will. So that's something's coming. I just don't know what it is. Something's coming. The fact that they were in the building, back in the building yesterday, if you're a Texan fan, you may have become used to the ebb and flow of the schedule through the years. Typically with this team, Tuesday's been the off day for players. So yeah. It would be Wednesday, would be a more likely day that we learn something like that. That's why I feel like that we heard nothing yesterday. I still think change is coming of some sort, but I feel a little less confident in that just based on the complete lack of smoke coming out of NRG yesterday.
And on Carolina's game against the Broncos, the Panthers announced that Sam Darnold would be starting on Tuesday. That was on a Tuesday that they announced it.
Yep,
so
yesterday.
The most recent precedent is very, very recent. Yeah,
it was yesterday afternoon. Here was Lovie Smith on Monday talking about Kyle Allen.
Kyle can make all of the throws. He has a history of good play in the NFL. And, again, he's a veteran that's been in this situation. He gets rid of the ball quickly. There's a lot of things to like about what Kyle has done. And when he played in the preseason with the limited amount of time that he had, I thought he did a pretty good job.
The get rid of the ball quickly thing is interesting to mix that in. It's like – with Davis gets rid of the ball quickly sometimes too, a little too quick. Like I want to see somebody who's going to attack downfield a little bit more.
Davis Mills, it's one of the fun conundrums of this team. Sometimes he gets rid of the ball too quickly,
yes,
but late. So because he's going to his first read, but he's holding on to it. So he gets rid of it quickly in such a way that his average time to throw is actually pretty low, and yet he's late on throwing it quickly,
yeah,
and it ends up getting pick sixed. Yeah. It's the darndest thing, and it's just one of the fun frivolities of this football team right now.
Yeah,
I think the other thing too about Davis Mills, because sometimes like if you look at time to throw and everything, it doesn't look like it's that bad. They don't count time to throw on plays where you take a sack where you should have gotten rid of the football.
Right.
So that actually taking a sack that he shouldn't take actually decreases his time to throw.
The Texans are one of a handful of teams with a little bit of quarterback drama, because you mentioned Carolina is going to start Sam Darnold. So this is at least the third guy they've started this year in Carolina between Baker and P.J. Walker.
P.J. Walker, yeah.
The New York Jets situation is interesting because I think they're awaiting a decision. That'll be another one where we hear something today. Robert Saleh making a decision on Zach Wilson, who did not have a good press conference on Sunday, at least in the eyes of a lot of national media and media in New York. Dan Orlovsky tweeted something interesting, Seth, and I think it illustrates maybe, how liberating it can be that you're doing this with a third round pick with Davis Mills as opposed to the second overall pick with Zach Wilson. Orlovsky tweeted this a few moments ago. The issue Robert Saleh has to deal with is he benches Zach Wilson and he risks losing him forever. If he doesn't bench Zach Wilson, he risks losing the locker room. The decision isn't one without ramifications. This is a team that could make the playoffs. They're actually playing for something.
If your quarterback is at risk of being lost emotionally forever by being benched, then he was never going to be your quarterback.
That's exactly my retweet. That's exactly my retweet.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
I did.
Oh, that's perfect. We're simpatico in that.
Yes,
yes. Yeah, like who the – look, dude, if your quarterback's that fragile, if he needs a loving pampering of Robert Saleh, who's a player's coach, right, and a very positive dude, you know, this is not the same as Jim Morris Sr. berating Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning did just fine with that.
Yep.
That's about the roughest. If Zach Wilson doesn't understand why he should be benched, then again, he's not the guy.
Or
he's got to go through something. He's got to face some kind of adversity like this to understand that it's not acceptable what he's doing right now.
All right, Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30, and we're going to get into the entire laundry list of things with the Texans. The rookies, the good and the bad, Davis Mills, Lovie Smith, Brandon Cooks, the entirety of what's going on with the Texans right now. We'll talk about with their GM, Nick Caserio, at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Chances of getting the first overall pick in the draft. The numbers have been crunched. For those of you wringing your hands over the Texans winning too many games down the stretch, what exactly do the percentages say right now? We will get to that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Texans are 1-8-1 on the season, and they are, as of right now, they would be picking first in the draft. They would be picking first and seventh in the upcoming draft. So there's a lot of you out there like, hey, if they change quarterbacks, what if Kyle Allen messes around and wins a couple games and then all of a sudden they don't pick first in the draft anymore? We'll remove the fact that even the number one overall pick is still fraught with risk, as Seth and I illustrated yesterday. Five of the last six quarterbacks taken number one overall either have changed teams, been benched, not playing well, like Trevor Lawrence. Joe Burrow is the only one I think I feel great about with the number one overall pick going all the way back to 2015. However, if you're somebody who's concerned about this, just know that ESPN has crunched the numbers. And the chances of the Texans getting the first overall pick in the draft next April, 76.4%.
Yeah.
With seven games left in the season.
That doesn't sound like actually as high as people would be comfortable with, Sean. That's only a 3-4 chance. If I give you a revolver that's got four chambers in it somehow, and I tell you like, hey, let's play some Russian roulette, it's only a 1-4 chance that you're gonna get the live bullet. What are you gonna do? You know, I messed that up. That's not how it works.
We knew where you were going.
One bullet in four chambers.
Right.
So, one in four is not an awesome odds for not having a. Was that for a top? That was for the number one overall pick?
The number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. With seven games left in the year,
it's heavy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Those are heavy odds.
Yeah.
It's just it's not by no means a guarantee.
But I feel pretty good about that. Like 76.4. If someone had put their hand over the paragraph with that percentage in and said, Sean, you got to guess. I don't know. Yeah. I would have guessed like closer to, you know, a coin flip at best. 76.4%. How about this, Seth? If all you want is a top five pick in the draft, 98.2% chance at a top five pick.
Well, that's pretty damn good.
Those are good.
Yeah.
And how about
I'll
this?
I'll play Russian roulette with those numbers. Give me a hand it over. Give me your firearm.
99.
I don't even care. I'll do it for $50.
99,
pull that trigger.
99.9. It's Christmas. You need shopping money. 99.9% chance at a top 10 pick.
It's Christmas. I need that 1% to work out. What's that?
No. Top 10, 99.9%, according to ESPN.com.
Yeah.
So they're a virtual lock to be in the top. That's pretty good. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
That's, I'll take that. I'm not so sold. Now, this is where I'm a bad sports radio host, because I just can't get myself worked up over wanting or needing to have that number one overall pick,
right?
Because I just feel like we've seen this time and time again. Here in Houston, we've seen it up close and personal. The number one overall pick is not a path to glory necessarily. And when it comes to quarterbacks, as you just mentioned, it's just as often, more often actually, a road to disappointment. So it does give you a better overall chance than if you're trying to take a quarterback in the third round, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's just not, it's not a slam dunk. Oh, great, we got the number one overall pick. Having a top five pick for me is nice. And yeah, if you end up with a 3 and a 7 because of that Cleveland pick, I think that's awesome, because you've got a really, really good chance of getting a awesome player there compared to anywhere else in the draft.
Glad you brought up Cleveland. They went through the whole first round, like the best. Like what is the draft order that is the most prevalent based on these simulations? ESPN ran 10,000 simulations of the rest of the season. And that's where 76.4% of the time the Texans were getting the first pick. Cleveland's pick that the Texans own came in at number 10, 10th overall. 16.5% chance at a top five pick.
Oh.
52.1% chance at being in the top 10.
Oh, I like those. Look, with the recent success of the Rockets in their lotteries,
yeah,
I feel like it's something. If there's anything I know about science, Sean, it's that lucky streaks are real. Okay. And that the city of Houston's on one now with the Rockets lottery.
I love how 2 minutes ago you were nervous about a 76.4% chance of the Texans getting the number one overall pick. But now you're like, man, 16.5% for a top five.
That's
a good sporting chance.
I like those odds. And luck is real. Lucky streaks are real. So is momentum.
Yeah.
So are good luck charms and hexes.
Yes.
I think we've proven on this show that hexes work. So
hell yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Schwarber, nice bunt with two strikes. Absolutely.
No, Sean. To be real, though.
Yes.
No, I think that, honestly, those are the same psychological attitudes I'm having there. 25% chance of not having the number one overall pick is enough for me to think like, oh, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Just as like, oh, okay, a 20 or 25% chance of having a top seven pick, I'm like, oh, all right, well, that's something that could happen.
No, you're right.
4 out of 4, that's not bad.
Yep, you're right, absolutely. You have this article in here that I think is really interesting. The positions that are the safest and riskiest at the top of the draft in the first round. What did we learn from this here? It looks like linebackers, safeties, centers, guards. Nothing super sexy, but those are really – they're not sexy, but they are safe, Seth.
The question is, okay, how often do they end up being all pros?
Right.
Is the – like, so – like. 26.4% of linebackers taken in the first round end up being all pro. That's pretty damn good. The 25.7% of safeties, 25% of centers. That's a little skewed, though, because like if you're a safety or a center being taken in the first round, you're a really good prospect. A lot of teams just flat out aren't going to take a safety or a center in the first round unless they're a Travis Frederick type, and then they end up being all pros. So linebackers, same thing. I think for off-ball linebackers, it's pretty rare. I know you had pointed out that a lot of linebackers have been taken. I think a lot of edge rushers are
classified. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think that includes edge rushers, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a little skewed. So if you look at linebackers, safeties, centers, and guards taken in the first round, they have the best chances of being an all-pro. They're all up in the 20%. And again, that's skewed a little bit because of the type of guys you're taking tend to be really good prospects there. Quarterbacks, 5.3% chance.
That's...
You take a one out of 20.
Yeah.
So you take that quarterback in the first round, and you're thinking like, oh boy, here's our chance. Chance for greatness now.
Here's our piece.
Because we took David Carr, and he's going to be awesome. Now there's a 1 in 20 chance that he'll ever have a single all-pro season.
3 out of 57. 57 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round over the last 25 years. Three have become all-pro. Mind you, all-pro, not Hall of Fame. Like all-pro, like a one-season accolade. Like if you make one all-pro – you count towards that total 3 out of 57. That's wild.
The highest bust rates, without going too long into how they define bust, running backs are the highest bust rate, followed by quarterbacks, the highest bust rate. D linemen, third highest bust rate. I think that's a. I think in the first round, this is what happens with defensive linemen. That's where guys who are physical freaks get taken, and even if they didn't necessarily produce in college. And I used to be really critical of teams for that. Now I kind of get it, just because it is that classic, all right, look, if you're looking for somebody to be a genuinely great pass rusher, they tend to – there are very few guys who are just lunch pail grinders that become genuinely great. Like, as much as people love to say that about JJ, JJ is freakishly athletic.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason – they love to accentuate that he's a hard-working grinder, but he's also freakishly athletic. So I think that teams look at that and say, all right, well, if we ever have a shot at getting a guy who's in genuinely awesome pass rusher, that we got to take these guys with all these freak skills.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think as far as quarterbacks go, I look, this franchise is in a triage situation when it comes to the fan base right now. There's all these empty seats. They got booed off the field this weekend when Davis Mills was in there. And I don't know what Bryce Young is going to be as an NFL player. I don't know what C.J. Stroud is going to be as an NFL player. I know in terms of this draft, they're both viewed by the experts as being worthy of taking up near where the Texans are going to be picking in this draft. There is a part of me, Seth, that even if I felt some risk with Stroud and Young, I want them to draft them just to give this franchise an injection of energy. There's no energy right now, you know?
Yeah. Like that. But the problem is that's short-term thinking.
I know. Yeah. And my short-term thinking has gotten me in trouble in my professional and personal lives at times.
Seriously, think about what you're thinking. Okay, what we should do is draft a guy who might bring excitement for 2 months, and then when he sucks, people will be saying the exact same things that they are now, if he sucks.
To be clear, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's a tiebreaker for me. Like, if I feel about Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud the same, I'm just using those two names, take the quarterback. Yeah. Like, it's going to make training camp more fun. Should that be how Nick Caserio is thinking? Absolutely not. Should that be how Sean Pendergast is thinking? Whether you like it or not, that's the way Sean Pendergast thinks.
That was one fun thing about Deshaun was the buzz that you got just from him being Deshaun Watson,
yes,
and the national championship winner, all that stuff. I feel like with Bryce Young, you would get that same thing.
Yes.
C.J. Stroud is a name and is just – Ohio State doesn't just have the same cachet, at least not down here, as a Bryce Young would, I think. So, I would hope that he's not making decisions based on that, but it would be something that would at least be fun for a few months.
Right,
and
right.
Then hopefully, and then yes, maybe he could work out.
Maybe.
That 3 out of 57 chance that
dude,
he ends up being.
I wish you hadn't shown me this. 3 out of 57. What the hell?
They all suck. These quarterbacks all suck. Geno Smith is a top 5 quarterback right now. It's not because he's good. Yeah. It's because everybody else sucks.
No, you're right. You're right. 7-1.
He's most favored to win comeback player of the year right now. And I'm looking around like, comeback? Like, maybe late bloomer? Like, what is he coming back from?
I didn't know. I thought the same thing. I'm like, comeback means you can come back from sucking for your whole career? Like, what the hell? If I had an actual injury, I'd be pissed if Geno Smith won it. Like, if I had an injury the year before, I'm like, he came back from being terrible. What the hell? All right.
Well, yeah, even Saquon Barkley is the second favorite for comeback player.
He should get it. He had a tore his ACL.
He tore his ACL, but he's also never genuinely blossomed as a running back either.
Still, tore his ACL. Geno Smith. Geno Smith was eating Cheetos last year. All right, 713-572-4610. Let's start to look ahead to Miami this weekend. And I know Seth has some notes from what he saw from the Texans this past weekend. As we await a change at quarterback, will it come today? We will find out. That is next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
This receiving corps that we have coming up right now, we have a player in that one position, Tyreek Hill. That's his name, right? Tyreek Hill? Yeah, we all know his name. What he does, and Miami does a great job with their offense too because there's still a commitment to the run, and you have to play their wide receivers a certain way. No one has been able to solve that problem yet. And we're excited when you play a game like we played yesterday, you're excited by playing a great team like Miami to see if that can make your game, see if that can make you up your game a little bit more. Look forward to it.
Yeah, this will be an interesting challenge. The script kind of shifts for the Texans this weekend as we welcome you back in here on Payne and Pendergast. Nick Caserio joins us in a little under an hour, 7:30. The Texans GM will jump on with us here. The last month or so, Seth, it feels like the Texans have just gone against this gauntlet of ground and pound, run it down your throat kind of teams. This is a little different challenge. As Lovey just mentioned, Miami, they still incorporate the run because it's Mike McDaniel running that Shanahan-Kubiak offense. But, man, they are explosive. With this Tyreek Hill trade, is, I think, has worked out better than even they thought it would work out. According to Pro Football Focus, Tua Tagovailoa is the number one quarterback in the NFL right now, and Tyreek Hill is the number one wide receiver in the NFL right now. And while last week's game against Washington, I thought their wide receiving group is, I think, kind of like sneaky good. You know, McLaurin and Samuel and the rookie Dotson, like that's a solid wide receiving core. This is next level. This Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle conundrum this weekend.
And they're also, like Tua Tagovailoa, you know, obviously it seemed funny when Mike McDonald was saying in the beginning of the season that, oh, he and Tyreek Hill were saying that he's the most accurate quarterback who's ever lived. And I see now people saying, oh, yeah, he's totally super accurate. And I can't believe how accurate it is. I do believe that, except the problem is now that people have said that, it's kind of like when somebody calls a coach a quarterback guru, you immediately are looking for ways to like say to be skeptical. Like, all right. And especially with Tyreek Hill saying that it had to be said that Tua was more accurate than Pat Mahomes, I'm not buying that. I watched the short game specifically to see if Tua was as good as Pat Mahomes when it comes to like leading his receivers.
Yeah.
Stuff like the screen games, like, and this sounds like a stupid, boring thing to be talking about. But honestly, one of the things that's most effective about Pat Mahomes is that he leads guys perfectly on his screens and in the short game to where it's easy for them to get run after the catch afterwards. And I don't think Tua is at that same level. But he does have very good touch. I think I'm throwing to non-Tyreek Hill and non-Jalen Waddle receivers, whether it's Gesicki or anybody else. Like, I think he does a really good job throwing to those guys. He's made some touch fade throws and outs that I didn't necessarily think he had in him. So yeah, it's a nice compilation of talent they have over there.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, this is a team that just 3 years ago was tank for Tua. I mean, they were talking three, like 2019, the 2020 draft. Everybody thought the Dolphins had screwed up by messing around and letting Fitzy go win a few games, and they were picking fifth in that draft, and they end up drafting Tua. Now, Joe Burrow went first, and Joe Burrow's been fine. He's been really good as an NFL quarterback. But, man, the way they've been able to turn this around, Bill O'Brien certainly helped along the way with the Laremy Tunsil trade. But they played this thing, as it turns out, Seth. You know, Stephen Ross, for all the grief that he gets and as bad as he is at tampering, like, I shouldn't say that Stephen Ross got this right. Like, Stephen Ross wanted Sean Payton and Tom Brady to be his coach and quarterback. They tried to trade for Deshaun Watson. I almost feel like These guys don't deserve to be 7-3 right now. Like, this was their plan C. Their plan A was Brady and Peyton. Their plan B was Deshaun Watson, who they had a trade lined up for at the trade deadline last year. This is their plan C right now.
And I think, too, if you look at the Dolphins, their pass defense isn't anything great. But their run defense is, I think, better than advertised. Just from watching the Browns game, and they're ranked pretty high, like in the top third in defensive run efficiency. But I watched the Browns game, and Nick Chubb ended up averaging 5.7 yards a carry in that game. That's 11 carries for 63 yards. And it was really ugly when the games was still close. They ended up the Browns ended up losing 39-17. When it mattered, Chubb was averaging less than 2 yards per carry. The Dolphins did a really good job of hemming that up. And then I think it's a classic, you know, some of the passing yardage that they've allowed has been after they've had a lead. So the pass defense doesn't look great, but it's not like it's a huge concern or anything. It's a well-rounded, well-coached football team. The Dolphins beat the Browns 39-17. And it never even felt like an electric ass-whooping. They just kind of methodically picked them apart, and the Browns limited them from getting, in the first several quarters, like a huge number of big-time plays. They just picked them apart. And Tua knows exactly how to use Waddle and Tyreek Hill to open up other guys. It's going to be a good a test for the Texans, Sean.
This
what?
Is
does that look?
No. I'm just you're laying that out, and I got to thinking about what the next month is going to look like for this team.
It's an opportunity, is what it is.
Dude, Tua might be the worst of the next four quarterbacks that they play, and he's number one on Pro Football Focus right now. Like they play Deshaun Watson in 2 weeks. Now, great, this will be a rusty Deshaun. Deshaun is probably the one I'm fearful of the least, just because this will be the first game he's played in 2 years. But then after that, it's Dak Prescott, who's on fire right now, and then it's and then it's the aforementioned Patrick Mahomes the week after that.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Take the over in some of these.
It's all, you know what? Hey, honestly, this is where when people ask whether they should bench Davis Mills. or bring Kyle Allen in. And people are worried that somehow, well, what if Kyle Allen comes in and what? Outperforms Tua, Dak,
Mahomes. That's what I was saying yesterday. I'm like, look at the schedule. Are you like, the Texans are going to be double-digit underdogs in like five of these seven games. Like,
guys, but what if Kyle Allen comes in and turns all of those quarterbacks into pumpkins? We know it's going to happen, Sean.
Oh my God! There's an inner beast waiting to be unleashed inside Kyle Allen. To be clear, I would like to see Kyle Allen just because I think there's a chance we get a more watchable version of this offense. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried about him messing around and all of a sudden going 4-1 over the next five games.
I think there are reasons to bench Davis Mills that have nothing to do with whether or not you want to actually win games or lose games or do whatever, or whether you want to spark. I think, honestly, one of the best reasons to bench Davis Mills right now, I'll give you two reasons. One, for Davis Mills' own development. I think it's that time where he needs to take a little break and sit back and see, hopefully, Kyle Allen be a more aggressive quarterback, a more decisive quarterback, quarterback capable of operating the offense with tempo, all those things. It would be nice if he sat back and watched that, if Kyle Allen was able to do that. And the other is, if Kyle Allen can come in and do a better job than Davis Mills, we'll get a better look at exactly what we have in Pep Hamilton. We'll have a better look at what we have in perhaps some of the tight ends and receiving options, the offensive line. Like, all of those things can be affected by the quarterback. And I'd love to get those guys evaluated better and developed better with a more competent quarterback.
And I'm not saying this is a reason you should do it, but maybe a residual effect of putting Kyle Allen in there these last five or six games, or whatever it is, seven games, is that if you do end up drafting a quarterback with a high pick, but Kyle Allen shows that he can at least steer the ship competently, is that you hang him, I don't know what his contract is, I'm guessing it's a one-year deal, maybe hang on to him next year and he's your bridge guy for a year, and you don't have to rush Bryce Young onto the field or whoever, C.J. Stroud, onto the field. Or he at least proves to be a guy that you want to keep around as a backup slash mentor to a younger guy. Like, there is a bit of a proving ground for Kyle Allen here with these last seven games if they make this move relative to his future with the Texans. Like, maybe he is the guy that you want to keep around to be around a young quarterback. Who knows? I'm not saying that's the reason. I'm saying maybe that's something we learn.
John, I would say at the very least, with Kyle Allen, you know, and look, you're going to get that same almost one-to-one touchdown to interception ratio if you look at it historically, what he's been. But at the very least, like, he's won football games.
Yeah.
You know, he's flat out has won games.
He's 1-0 at NRG Stadium.
Yeah. And for whatever it's worth, he's in his fifth season. I think that maybe his physical upside isn't as high as Davis Mills should be, but there's things that happen over the course of 4 or 5 years in the NFL that some guys just flat out get better at. That's why Geno Smith is now the favorite to be comeback player of the year. With him, I think it was just a matter of seeing a lot more football and having time to digest things and make things automatic, to where a lot of the things that perhaps he used to struggle or be a little gummed up with in his process aren't gummed up as much anymore. So if Davis Mills can just kind of watch somebody operate in that fashion, hopefully, that can be good for Davis Mills. It doesn't keep you from drafting a quarterback, but you still obviously might have something in Davis Mills, either in an emergency situation or to trade away if he can keep developing.
Nick Caserio joins us at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour at 7:30 this morning. He's going to join us, and we'll ask him about some of the rookies. You brought this to my attention before the show, Seth. Jimmy Shapiro, our friend, sends out his PR guy, sends out emails each week from betonline.ag with different odds on things. And every week during the football season, every Tuesday at about the same time, you get odds on different awards. And these are small things, but it is kind of, I think, an illustration of maybe some of the anxiety over the rookie class right now. I mean, Kenyon Green's film is bad enough now to cause anxiety, probably for Kenyon and a lot of other people. I'm okay with Kenyon Green. I'm hoping he'll be fine. Jalen Petrie at one point was number 3 on the odds board for Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was 9-1.
Yeah.
Now, when you fall back, some of it has to do with your team losing, but I think him being 100-1 right now for Defensive Rookie of the Year matches the eye test. And I think Jalen Petrie is maybe emblematic of something that we're a little nervous about, which is, okay, man, these rookies, they all came in. They're all, you know, it's a very talented class. Training camp, we were very excited about a lot of these guys. Even early in the season, excited about a lot of these guys. Whether it's a rookie wall or whatever, the little bit of the bloom feels off the rose in general with the rookie. I mean, obviously, Pierce is incredible. But generally speaking with this rookie class, whether it's Stingley's hamstring or just Petrie's tackling, Kenyon Green getting steamrolled, all those things. It feels like there's just a little bit, it's a little more tepid on these rookies.
I think even if you look back, you know, statistically in some measures, I mean, for one, Brevin Jordan we were hopeful for. I knew that Brevin Jordan had drawbacks, you know, just his physical size amongst them. Like, his physical size without, he's not that big, but he's also not that fast. I think that people don't realize, like, how undersized he is by tight end standards, that you got to be pretty fast to make up for that. But he's been a healthy scratch for a couple weeks in a row.
Yep.
That's a huge step backward. Davis Mills, statistically and to the eyeball, has taken a step back, I think. But then from last year to this year, and then within this season as well. But, yeah, Derek Stingley, Kenyon Green, Jalen Petrie, Christian Harris. Of those four guys, you know, taken before Damian Pierce, I think Christian Harris is the only one that I feel better about now than I did on week one. And that was only because I hadn't seen Christian Harris yet. I do think Christian Harris, over the course of the 4 or 5 games that he's played so far.
Yeah, 5.
I think he's improved. I think these last couple games, he's looked much like a much more complete linebacker. So I'm happy about Christian Harris so far. It's just that all these guys, I feel good about these last two draft classes in the long term. I just don't feel as excited and certain about them, like, individually as I did in week one.
Yeah, you don't feel, you know, Stingley's the big one. He was a 3rd overall pick. You don't feel about Stingley the way that New York Jets fans feel about Sauce Gardner right now.
Okay, yeah, so Derek Stingley is not on these odd boards to be Defensive Rookie of the Year. Sauce Gardner is the heavy, heavy, heavy favorite. So Sauce Gardner was taken one pick behind Derek Stingley. And look, we know, how that changes over time and after the rookie year. I get it. It's just right now in the moment doesn't feel so hot.
Yeah, the optics. That's all. I mean, we're, you know, look, we're doing a radio show where it's fans listening to this show. My guess is there's a lot of fans that are a little nervous right now that maybe they took the wrong cornerback in this thing. Stingley. I think Stingley's going to be fine.
Right, it's not even the optics for me. It's just like, no, I would love guys. It's jealousy.
Yeah.
I sit there and I watch people gush over Sauce Gardner, and I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I want people to be gushing over Derek Stingley.
Yep.
I don't want to be correct in how disappointed I was that they took Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner.
Right.
Not to mention, what was the huge question and drawback about Derek Stingley?
Injuries.
Hmm. What did he do last week in the game?
He was in street clothes.
Was he allowed? Oh, that's right. He was injured. Okay.
He was in street clothes. Yep. Hamstring. Damian Pierce still 4-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I almost hope he doesn't win it, because if he were to win it, that probably means he's still getting 30 carries every weekend. And I honestly, like, you know, Damian Pierce taking home hardware would be really cool. You know what else would be cool? Damian Pierce not carrying the ball 300 times.
We looked at Maurice Jones-Drew's stats yesterday. And remember, Maurice Jones-Drew was sharing carries with Fred Taylor, who was just named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
He was sharing carries with Fred Taylor for the first couple of years. And then all of a sudden, when it became the Maurice Jones-Drew show in years 4, 5, and 6, that's when he took off. And then after that, he did the typical running back thing where he had 3 more years of not nearly as much success. It'd be awesome if maybe Benjamin or somebody else could take some of these carries off of Damian Pierce, and over the next year, 2 years, whenever the time is right, then you go full bore Damian Pierce, give him a nice extension after his third year, so you get those next few years locked up, and then boom, there we have it. We've got a window, Sean.
Yep.
We've got a running back window.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 713-572-4610, if you want to text. That's the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Nick Caserio joins us at 7:30 on the show today. Up next, well, let me also tell you, if you're looking for more football conversation, check out The Crew, Odyssey's newest football podcast. Jazina Anderson, Fred Smoot, and actor Morris Chestnut. They talk to players and celebrities on The Crew, and they give you a peek behind the curtain for headlines around the NFL. Follow The Crew in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And also make a note, this Friday, The Drive with Sterner and Hughley will be The Drive with B. Scott and Wade Smith at Social Beer Garden in Midtown for Miller Lite Football Friday, this Friday from 2 to 6. Hang out with the guys, great food, cold drinks, and get ready for Sunday's game in Miami on a Miller Lite Football Friday here on a Thanksgiving weekend in Houston. Up next, Justin Verlander gets some more hardware. Seth mentioned the Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalist list. Familiar names on that as well. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.